Arazila brende de rakadila sundra katagababundas. Rapate kibundu sabradili gizundra paragatas. Rafatundra parusundra kila paragatabundas. Rakabababuria la mahanda. You see, on the last day of the feast, he rose up with a cry. He rose up with a cry. They that test, he said they should come and drink of him. Mambora sapate kiburuno salibahata. Velebunda sabra kidura amantala kibo sabrahanda lagabara. Rete de mumala kida suna. It's a day of doing business in deep waters. Take me deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close in your embrace. Take me deeper than I've ever been before. I just want to love you more and more. How I love. Take me deeper.
Can you make that your heart cry tonight?
Deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close in your embrace. Take me deeper. Deeper than I've ever been. I just want to love you more and more. I want to love to be deeper in love.
And so, precious Father, we thank you. Father, tonight we ask that you take us through the veil, that we may behold an interface reality. We ask that tonight you will bet something substantive in our spirit. You will ferry us beyond the forces of religion, the cliches of the church. You will carry us to interact with reality. Father, tonight let everyone have a tangible encounter with your spirit. That which is beyond everything that can be explained on cerebral articulation. That which is beyond everything that we can explain cognitively. That which is eternal in nature and in scope. A substance of reality be furnished on our inside. The forces of life that bear conviction in the heart of men beyond that which they can ever imagine. That which you do to the heart of mighty patriarchs of old, that furnished convictions enough to make them even die gladly because they understood that they were part of a cause that transcended time. We ask that you bring us into those depths with you tonight, where meaning and essence will be furnished. Bless us with your presence. Bless us with your power. Let there be invigorations, strengthenings, empowerments by your spirit that will cause a reverberation beyond the tides of this nation. That which enthrones men and gives them authority over territories to uninstall demonic installation and to establish new ordinances, to enact and to legislate policies that come from the throne of Zion. That which causes men to lift up their hands and never get weary. That which grants men wisdom and access into realms where they speak forth the counsel of the Lord. We ask that that which makes men to become light in darkness, the same will be furnished in our lives even tonight. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. For thine is the kingdom. For thine is the power. For thine is the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you so good. The Lord bless you richly. Tonight is a night of power. But I would need to establish the coordinates before we journey into deep spheres. Many of you will be empowered tonight. I'm not saying I will educate and motivate you. Something tangible will come upon you, and you will know that you have been changed into another man. I love spiritual realities. It's such a shame when we reduce spirituality to religion, a set of rules. An ordinary man called Saul was looking for his father's missing asses, and he came before a man and he looked upon him. There was no church service, there was no ceremony. He looked upon him. He said, "The missing asses have already been found, but that's not the reason you are here." He said, "Today the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you will be changed into another man." Just to convince you, he said, "As you depart from me, you will stretch through the garrison of the Philistine and you will meet two men. They will give you bread." He said, "As you journey past them, you will see a company of prophets." He said, "There the Spirit of God will come upon you and you will be changed into another man." How do men secure so much authority with God? By what technology do people come to a place where they have so much stature in the spirit? And they can just wake up from their bedside and they make a proclamation and it has an impact over a generation. Elisha was lying down, his little boy had run out and he saw chariots. A mighty army had besieged them. And he came to him, said, "We've been besieged." And he said, "Do not bother, we have more on our side." How do men become so mighty in God? I don't know about you, but that's where I'm journeying to. Oh my God. You come to church, you think it's about falling on the floor and encouraging the man of God. These are not the things we read. And he told the Lord, "Please open his eyes, let him see." And suddenly the guy's eye was open and he saw upon the mountain chariots of fire. There was no church service. Men that understood the technology of moving the hand of God. In their bed chamber, they can travel to places. Even when Gehazi messed up, he said, "Did my spirit not go with you?" How do men become so mighty with God? Jacob was just talking with his son Joseph. He said, "Thanks be to God." He began to give a narrative of his encounters with God. And he said, "See, today, the Lord has not just blessed me. I have seen my sons and their sons." And Joseph said, "I came with my children." He said, "Really? Where are they? Bring them forward." And suddenly the man casted his hand upon them. And he said, "May the name of Israel be named upon them." Immediately in the archives of heaven, these two guys were numbered into the 12 tribes of Israel. There was no service. These are men who rise up and say, "Gather around your father Israel, that I may bless you." And he will bless them. And the Bible said when he was done blessing them, he gathered himself onto his bed and he slept with his fathers. They knew the time of death. They knew when the day of departure came. They did not die. They slept. He said, and David, after he has served his generation, according to the will of the Lord, he slept with his fathers. How do men journey so deep in God that they come to a point where it's as if they are masters over the elements of creation? By the Spirit of the living God. And you think everything we have come to do is to join a church service and carry out activities and go back home. It's a lie from the pit of hell. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11, he said the things that happened to the men of old, he said it happened as an example unto us whom the end of the age is come. In Romans chapter 15 verse 4, he said the things that were written aforetime, he said they were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Paul looked upon the things that happened. He studied the life of the patriarchs. He asked a question. He said, "What did Abraham, our father, according to the flesh, found?"
He knew that spirituality begins when you journey into the potter's where men are forged in God. And he had the boldness to declare. He said, according as it is written, they believe and have spoken. He said, we also, having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. We have something that is substantial in God. It's not a tradition. It's not a religion. It's not a set of activities. It is a force of life playing out through the lives of men. It is divinity finding expression through the corridors of a human vessel. So that through you, the hand of God can be stretched over a territory. A young man that had no understanding, the Bible said he led the sheep and he journeyed to the backsides of the desert and he came even to Horeb, the mountain of God, and he had an encounter with God. He left that place not as a human being, he left there as a God. God said to him, I have made you a God unto Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother have become thy prophet. I don't know what you are pursuing in God. I journey after encounters. I strive that I may align with him who is the king in the spirit, so that on earth I can mirror his dimensions. The journey of the faith is not a journey in the flesh. It's a journey into the deep waters in the realm of the spirit until you see him as he is, so that you can make an appearance and be a representative of his reality in the natural. How do you intend to colonize the world? A world that has been cracked and a world that is governed by all kinds of princes in darkness. The very territory that you are walking upon, there are princes that are governing all the operations around different spheres of that territory. How do you expect to prevail in a land like that? Except as you can see the realities in the spirit and you are empowered and invigorated by the forces that gather the constellations together. We have been deceived. Can you ask the Lord tonight to grant you an encounter? You see, scepters and mantles will fall tonight. Feeble men shall be translated into mighty veterans. He said 400 broken men, battered men, men who are in debt, men without future, men without vision. They met David in the cave of Adullam. He was not in the palace, he was in the cave, cut out from civilization. 400 broken men met him, and when he was done with them, they became mighty. When David was about to build the temple of the Lord, they brought goats, sheep. They brought mighty things, silver, bronze, all kinds of iron. Men that were broken, battered. They met him in a cave. They didn't meet him in a palace. The worth of everything they brought to David in our day today is worth $22 billion. By what means can the destiny of a man be turned around? By what technology? What do these men found with God? What did they find? We journey the spirit looking for realities, so that our day and our time, the glory of the Lord will be seen. It's a journey of life. You don't have to look it to be it. It works within the context of the economy of grace. And everyone that aligns his heart, the Lord will stretch forth his hands. You didn't choose yourself. You were numbered in him before the foundations of the world. Deeper in love with you, Jesus, hold me close in your embrace. Take me deeper than I've ever been before. I just want to love you more and more. I love to be deeper in love. You see, the things that happen in our world today, you may call it a civilization, you may call it an era, but in the spirit realm, they are entities. When you see young ladies begin to wear exposing wares, it is not a manifestation of an error. A spirit have just shown up in eternity. What you call seasons and times, They are not calculated in eternity of time. They are calculated as season, they are calculated as entities enthroned over territories. What you call a civilization is actually a manifestation of a spirit. The same way, when we journey back to eternity, the days that we live in, they will be wielded and ceded to men. The day you are living in today, you call it a time, but in eternity it is wielded to a man. The whole of our reality and our civilization will be named after a man, because of how deep he journeyed with God. He said, in the days of John the Baptist, everything that happened in that era was calculated as a person. It was called John the Baptist. Reality is judged differently. We are the ones messing up our lives in time. We are the ones messing up our lives. There is a place in God where you need to stand so that you can find relevance in time. Because the purposes of God that are journeying through time, they are weaved into the lives of men. Every time you align with the Spirit of God, you bring your own quota so that a building, an edifice that houses the policies of heaven will begin to find expression. You cannot afford to sleep in a day like this. You cannot afford to relax. Man of God said, the Bible says, woe unto him that is at ease in Zion. It's possible to be at ease in Zion. Deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close in your embrace. Take me deeper. Deeper than I've ever been before. I just want to love you more and more. How I love to be deeper in love. Take me deeper. Deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close in your embrace. Deeper than I've ever been before. I just want to love you more and more. How I love you.
See, a lot of you made decisions last night and the day before. A season is about to break loose upon you. A new order of government. It's about to streamline you into a place where God can begin to steward his life into you, so that you can become a steward of the mysteries of God. A season is about to break upon you where different kinds of instructions will be passed, different kinds of requirements, expectations will be placed upon you. The goal of it is not to mar your life. It is so that a kingdom, a dimension, a face, a part of the kingdom can break out through your life. I encourage you, as you leave the meeting, stay aligned. Something bigger than everything you have imagined is about to break upon you. God doesn't break men. He's a maker of men. He called men that were ordinary fishermen. He said, follow me. What do you think their lives would have translated to? Even in their world, they were peasants. They were the least of men. Nobody reckoned with them. He said, follow me. Follow me. Everything Jesus does has a significance that is eternal in scope. If he went to the elite of the society, you say it's because of their much schooling. If he went to the mighty, you say it's because of their influence. You know, in the church today, we look for the big men, the mighty men. We call them helpers. Jesus went to the little, the insignificant in the society, because it is by the power of the kingdom that men are made. Even the substances that are committed to your hand, they are sacred things given to you so that you can steward the dimension of God. If you will make up your mind to follow him, something will change. There will be a shift. You will not be able to imagine it. A day has come where sons of order must arise. Men that know nothing but the work, the power, and the reality of the Spirit of the living God. It's a solemn assembly where men are summoned into light, where men are summoned into mysteries, so that strange possibilities
that aforetime was not imagined concerning them will begin to break out of their lives. The men that take the territory, they are men that are separated from their civilization. Because the civilization that trains you robs you of the power to alter it. If you want to change the world, God has to separate you from that world. You have to be exposed to a new school, a new syllabus of training, so that you can come and correct the errors of your civilization. That is why God is going to be separating you. That's what God is going to be leading you through very tight, narrow corners of alignment. Because he wants to separate all the forces of the civilization in your life and bring you to a plane where you can speak and command deliverance unto Jacob. Once again, ask the Lord to speak to you tonight. Hear things that your ears will not capture, but your heart will perceive. Ask him to talk to you. You can preach a message for 2 hours, but only a line will be an instruction to somebody. So it's not about how robust, how posterior, how intelligent the message is. It is what the person can catch that makes a difference. And you ask the Lord that you will catch that word that is for you. When the word of the Lord appears to you, a lot of things change. He said, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. The Lord appeared to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. A prophet was born the day the word of the Lord appeared to him. Everything you call an advantage is a flesh, is a waste. True advantage is in the spirit. Until your reality is made known to you, until there is a supply of the spirit, you are incapacitated even before you began. Because the entities that you contend with, they are enthroned in the spirit. They come by power, they come by authority. And you must be supplied sufficiently with enough power, enough authority, enough mystery, enough secret, enough wisdom, enough insight before you can uninstall everything that they do in your territory. Some of us, our destiny is in the political corridor. Our destiny is in the business world. Our destiny is in the body of Christ. But it will never be realized except as we allow the Spirit begin a ministration in our lives. Ask the Lord to minister to you tonight.
I'm not going to be teaching, so to say. I just want to point out a few things to you and then we'll begin to pray. Are we together? We have laid some blocks in the previous days. It's time to consciously press into things. Are we together? I just want to show you a few things. You know, we began by establishing the fact that nothing can be bettered in the natural except as it is first of all apprehended in the spirit. Our walk with Jesus, the purposes the Lord has committed to us, the establishment of these purposes on the face of the earth, we establish that it is impossible to bet any of these dimensions or any of these realities in the natural, except as it is first of all apprehended in the spirit. And so we said the orientation of our growth in God is not in the natural, it is in the spirit. What we see in the natural is just a byproduct of the things that are happening in the spirit. Are we together? In fact, we established that the very revelation upon which the church was built was caught in the spirit. And Jesus said, this same technology by which you have caught this revelation is the same strategy by which everything I intend to do on the face of the earth will be carried out. You will first of all apprehend it in the spirit, then you will have the authority to establish it on the earth. I told us that when God was addressing Job, he told him, he made a very simple statement that has so much weight as far as humanity will be relevant in his operation with God. He said in Job chapter 38 verse 4, he said, declare now if you have understanding. It was not a direct question the Lord was asking. The Lord was actually telling him, you only have the authority to declare when you have secured understanding of the matter. And in chapter 33 of that scripture, the Bible made us to understand that understanding is first of all caught and apprehended in the spirit. Because anything that you are permitted to establish on the earth must first of all be captured on the blueprint of creation. So what you are actually declaring is not something you are betting by an act of your wisdom or your authority. What you are actually declaring and bringing forth are things that the Lord have already established within the context of the counsel of his will before the foundations of the earth. Because the Lord told him, he said, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Or by what means they are established, their dominions are established upon the earth. The only basis by which you can have authority to establish the ordinances of heaven as dominion upon the earth is when you have secured understanding in the spirit. Are we together? So we went further to say, before understanding can be captured in its full scale, we must first of all interact with the three entities in the Godhead. Because the three entities in the Godhead have different strategy of educating and implementing policies on the earth. We said the Father brings you light. It quickens you into portals of knowledge so that you can know things that are in the spirit. And you saw that when Peter gave that answer to Jesus in Matthew chapter 16 verse 16, Jesus answered him in verse 17 of that scripture. He said, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. He said, but my Father which is in heaven. So the revelation that came to Peter was a part that the Father plays in betting the dominions of heaven on the earth. He brings you into regions of understanding. He brings you insight, understanding into things that hold and have their roots in the spirit. However, I made us understand yesterday that if you only operate at a sphere where you can pick things from the realm of God, you will not have the requisite authority on the face of the earth to implement it. Because the same Peter that had access into knowledge by the wisdom of the Father, the same Peter in a moment drew Jesus backward and began to fight the very thing that Jesus was to implement. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. And he didn't stop there. In fact, as far as the scales of balances were concerned, Peter was as light as chaff. Because it was much later Jesus told him, Simon, Simon. He said, Satan desires to have you, to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed that your faith faileth not. So if you operate at a level where you can only pick things, you have understanding of things in the spirit, permit me to let you know you don't have authority in the natural. And if you are not even careful, the things you break into in the spirit may implicate you. Because most people go about saying things that they have seen, and it becomes the reason why their life is captured in all kinds of frustrations. Because they think it's all about seeing things in the spirit. It is not enough to interface with the Father to capture revelation. That is one phase, that is one layer in the operations of God. And I told us, after we are beginning to receive things from the realm of God, then the impute of the Son comes in. The Son gives us education, it brings us wisdom, it brings us strategies on how to implement the things that we have seen in the spirit. So he said, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. This thing the Father have revealed to you in order to bring you into full understanding and adequate strategy in bringing it to forth, I need to educate you that this thing the Father have revealed to you is the only basis by which the church can be built on the earth. And if the church is built based on this strategy, then darkness will not have authority over it. But that you have understanding and you know the strategy does not still give you the authority and the empowerment to bring to pass. Because most of us here, we don't need to go too far. Most of you here, you have heard what God wants you to be. Some of you have been. The Lord has started showing you visions from when you were a child. How that you'll be a prophet. Some of you, God has revealed to you how that you'll be a revivalist. But up until today, you have not begun. That is because you know and you have the strategy. But the authority, the empowerment, the internal invigoration to bring forth the things that you have seen have not yet been imparted. And I said, in order to bring forth, we must come to a point where we begin to interact with the Holy Ghost. Because the Father may bring you revelation, grant you insight and understanding. The Son may give you interpretation, wisdom and strategy. But it does not mean you have become. The kind of education that the Holy Ghost grants us is different from that of the Father and the Son. In the educational system of the Holy Spirit, He does not just reveal to you, He does not just educate you as to the strategy of your implementation. The Holy Spirit literally carries you into the realm of that knowledge. So you don't just know, you become that which you have known. I cited an example. I told you, it's one thing for a doctor to tell you, if you have sore throat, bitter mouth, weakness, nausea, you have malaria. You have that knowledge in your head. But if the Holy Ghost wants to teach you, He won't tell you the symptoms of malaria. He will impart malaria into you. So you have first-hand experience of malaria. Then you have the capacity to show anybody what malaria is. Because the moment they look upon you, they will see malaria. So until you have come to a point where you are captured in the syllabus of the teachings of the Holy Spirit, you are not sufficiently equipped to be a witness. And as such, you don't have the authority to bear the things that were predicated in the Spirit and captured in the context of your ordination to bring forth in time. That is why in our interactions and in our dealing, the Holy Ghost becomes the most significant partner and entity that we have business with in time. Because until you come into the regions of experience, you don't have the authority to bring forth in time. The Holy Ghost carries you into realms of reality. He gives you first-hand knowledge of the things that you are seeing so that you can become a witness of those things in time. The thing is, when the Holy Ghost is done with you, His desire is that you will become the Jesus of your world. Because the strategy of heaven is to ensure that Jesus is not just trapped in one vessel. The purpose of heaven is not that Jesus should be captured in one man. The purpose of heaven is that which Jesus is and stands for, many will become it, so that they can become manifestors of that life. That is why the Bible said the glory of God shall cover the earth as the waters surround the ocean. The glory of God is not the cloud. The cloud is the manifestation of the glory. The word glory is the word doxa in Greek. It's the word kabod in Hebrew. It means the full expression of a thing. In fact, in ancient Hebrew, what they used to illustrate glory is a statue. When you mount a statue outside, under the rain is the same. Under the sun is the same. So it becomes the full expression of a reality regardless of circumstantial interferences. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit is for you and I to become the Jesus of our world. So that everything the Lord wants to implement, when He stretches His hand, He can stretch it through us. So the apostles prayed. He says, stretch forth thy hands, that signs and wonders may be performed by the name of thy holy child. The hands that were stretched were the hands of Peter, James and John. But these ones have become weaved through the gateways of alignment until every time they acted, it was Jesus acting. In fact, when they gave instruction to the Gentile church, they said, it pleased the Holy Ghost and us that we should not burden the church with circumcision. It pleased the Holy Ghost and us. They have come to a point where the desires of the Holy Spirit is their desires.
The burdens of the Holy Spirit is their body. It is within the context of that kind of experience that they have the status in the spirit to be called apostles. Because an apostle is not a title. An apostle is one that bears the weight, the burden, and the heartbeat of the king. Everywhere an apostle shows up, the burdens of the kingdom he represented is manifested. The apostolic is the first form of strategy that the kingdom was put in place and recognized as the ecclesia. Because the ecclesia is an envoy sent from heaven to be a full scope representative of everything that the kingdom of God is. But you have to come to a point where you have paid the burden, the price, and the sacrifice of alignment to become one with that which you represent. That is when witness is accurate. But we have a lot of Christians today who are talking about things that are hallowed, things that are sacred, because they heard other preachers say it. People come and talk about angelic beings. When the servant of God Jude was writing, he said, these ones, they speak about high matters that they don't have understanding of. He said, even Michael, the archangel, when he came to Satan, he didn't use reviling words. He only said, the Lord rebuke you. Young people who don't have understanding of sacred matters, talking, and then their lives are frustrated, plagued with all kinds of darkness, because they don't know the things that they are interacting with. You must first of all follow by alignment. And I established yesterday that as we journey in alignment, the Holy Ghost does not only bring us into realms of knowledge, the Holy Ghost actually shuts the gates of corruption in our lives. The corruption that comes by the lust of the eyes, the corruption that comes by the lust of the flesh, the corruption that comes by the pride of life. The Holy Ghost shuts down all of these things. Then we become accurate representatives of the kingdom of God. That's the first purpose of alignment. And for a generation to arise, a Daniel generation to arise, it was a generation that is willing to pay the price of alignment. The first thing the Bible revealed concerning Daniel was the fact that him and his friends decided not to defy themselves with the king's meat. He said they decided not to defy themselves. They paid the price of alignment. They were living on water and vegetable for 10 days. And the first thing they proved to the eunuch is that what makes fresh is not what you eat. What makes fresh is who you are standing with, what you are interacting with, what you are interfacing with. Because when the eunuch came to examine them, they were 10 times better than the people that were eating the king's meat. Is it that they had crisis with meat? No. The food that the king eat is first of all consecrated to idols. They decided to separate themselves from the civilization of their time. See, most of us come, we say we want to be part of the army the Lord is raising. But the first gaze on us is a revelation of everything that is captured within the context of the ideology of the world system. From the very way we talk, from the very things we do, the thoughts that traffic our minds, everything about our life is an educational system that comes from the world system. And then we come, we say we want to change the world. Which world do you want to change? You are already an ambassador of the world. You can't change a system you are already an agent of. And then we say all kinds of things. You are directly under the influence of a demon, and then you are coming speaking against the demon. It's just like betraying your master. The first thing the demon will do is to lead you to a place where he will afflict your body. And then he will frustrate your circumstances, because he's already a god over your mind. He will lead you away from your destiny. When he is sure that he has taken you far, then he will begin to deal with you. And then the demon will know that you have tendencies of rebellion. Rebellion in this context is a possibility that one day you will align with Jesus and fight him. He knows you have tendencies of rebellion, so he will separate you from the folk, lead you to a place of irrecoverable loss. Then he will dump you there.
It will not fulfill your purpose and you will not even be relevant to it again. Because he now know that God, this man has tendencies of rebellion. But a Daniel generation is a generation that have proposed in their heart that they will not defy themselves. Even when the most common thing to do is to bow to the world system, they will choose to stand even if they are alone. These guys were so obstinate about their decision that a day came where they were cast into the lake of fire. And they said, "Oh, King, live forever." He said, "We will not be careful to answer you in this matter. If it's about this matter, we don't need to follow the decorum. We don't need to follow the protocol of addressing matters within the context of your kingdom." He said, "In this matter, we are not careful. We will not bow. We will not bow. Hear it, O King, we will not bow." And he said, "Let the fire be made hotter than it was 7 times. And when they were entering the fire, they were giving praise. If we perish, we perish. Even if God will not rise to deliver us, we trust him. Because we have come to realize that the value of life is not in time. Everything we are living for is an investment into eternity. It's in eternity that life is lived. Everything we have here is like airtime. It's an opportunity, a privilege given to us to invest into eternity. It is in eternity that we will see our reality." Ah! When you see men like Paul in eternity, then you, what you think he was in time is a rabbi that carried parchments and books teaching. When you see him in eternity, you will see the brightest form of light. He will be clothed with stars, and then you will marvel. You know, when John met Jesus as he was ferried in the Isle of Patmos into the realm of the spirit, John was the closest disciple to Jesus. The Bible said he would lean on his chest, and he was the one that asked very daring questions that even Peter, who was bold, could not ask. But when he saw him in eternity, the one he was leaning on was not the one he saw. He saw a spear come out of his mouth. His leg was like polished bronze. His face shined like the sun. He was given. Who is this? The description that was given to him was not Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. He was called the one that liveth forevermore. He was called the Alpha, the Omega. He was dead, but now he lives forevermore. The status have changed. Everything you are doing here is sending forth investment into eternity. Because it's in eternity we will see him. And we will, "Is this who you are?" You will see Patrick, and his name will no longer be Patrick. Because when we come into eternity, he said he will give every one of us a name that no man knoweth. That name is a function of the kind of service that you rendered in time. That was the thing people like Paul knew, and they say, Paul and Barnabas, they say, "These be the men that hazarded their lives for Jesus." They were doing things that they were not instructed to do. If it means dying for Jesus, it was a gate of opportunity for them. Alignment. So Daniel and his friends proposed in their heart that they will not defy themselves with the king's meat. How many times and how many places have you compromised? And then sometimes you do it in a hidden form. If you know how many cloud of witnesses are watching you, that time you locked yourself behind closed doors. That thing you are doing, hiding from the pastor and a few brethren. The whole number on earth is not up to 1/10 of what is in heaven. The Bible said, oh my God. It says 100,000 times 100,000, 10,000 times 10,000 angels, they stood before him in worship. And the Bible said 1/10 of the angels fell from heaven. And that number, if we use multiplicative arithmetic, is more than 100 trillion. So the number of demons on earth, the least you can find is 500 million. How many are we on earth? And then the Bible says we are encompassed by a cloud of witnesses. And then you go, you lock yourself, and then you hide behind closed door, and you say you are hiding. The secret purity. They propose in their heart. They say, "We will not defy ourselves." You see, the first thing is not the marching order. Because if you give the marching order to babes, they will be in trouble. He said, "If the trumpet makes an unusual sound, who will prepare for battle?" They may not even be able to discern. Because you see, God is not looking for number. He doesn't win by number. He wins by authority. So he's looking for genuine persons who can stand with him. That's the story of Gideon. It's not by the multitude. So we don't just come and say, this is what God wants to do. Let's go there. I'm showing you what the requirements for being numbered in the armies of Zion. And if the Lord revealed this to you, you'll be shocked how narrow your life will become. I used to be a football fan. In fact, they called me Skywide. You know, the guy that analyzes football in ESPN back then around 2000, 2001, he's called Tommy Smith. So after he gives his analysis, he said, this is Tommy Smith worldwide. So in the studio where we watched ball, because we were filled with records, we were compendiums of records. And now say, if Tommy Smith is worldwide, you are Skywide. So we give records. If a club wants to play, we tell you when the club started, the trophies they have won. We analyze it like the studio. But in the place of prayer, light appeared to me. And I was caught up in a trance. And I saw beings like, they were like crocodiles. They were alighting on top of a mountain and warring against the church. Warring against the church. And as I looked, what is happening? Suddenly a baton entered my hand. I didn't know from whence it came. And I joined and began to fight. And I saw many persons were already contending with these entities. And somebody called me aside. He said, lead the people to safety. And as I was leading them, they were giving me their substances. As I woke up from that trance, I was plagued. The appetite for football died. My path became narrow. Most of my friends, they will call 10 times, 20 times. I've not returned their call. And even while they are talking, sometimes I end the call. I would think they are done talking. They became offended. My life became narrow. I was being led into a narrow path. The things that delighted me, the appetites began to die. Rules began to show up. I will sleep in the night time and I will roll on the bed until morning unless I wake up to pray. Sometimes you go to eat and then it's as if you touch that food in your mouth is a sin. These things are not doctrines. They are lexicons of instructions that are weaved into the path of your ordination. And until you subscribe to them, you will never be relevant with God. When the portals of alignment were open to me, I began to see strange kinds of power. You know, we thought power was all about people being slain. So we come for a meeting from the opening prayer. We stirred the waters. People are on the floor everywhere. But God began to show me. He said, these things are tangible realities. I showed up in tent and the woman was crying. You know, tent from the backside. The daughter, something hit her on the chest and she was screaming and she fell down and died. By the time we came, she was already dead for 3 hours. Her body was cold like stockfish and her hand had become stiff. And we showed up there and we began to pray. And we called her back to life. That was when it dawned on me that power had nothing to do with people being slain. Because Michael Jackson can show up in a stadium and people will be slain. Because when expectation collides suddenly with reality, you are overwhelmed. If you see what you don't expect, all of a sudden, your emotions are overtaken and you lose comportment. It's deeper than being slain. They came to Jesus. He said, who sit down? And he said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. They went back and fell. They got up. Who sits here? He said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I already told you I am he. They went back, fell. And when they got up, they arrested him to kill him. You can fall 100 times. You will still be an agent of darkness. It's a tangible reality. But it begins from Daniel and his friends proposed in their heart that they will not defy themselves with the king's meat. The next thing the Bible reveals about Daniel, you know, everything Daniel did, if you are not careful, you will tie it to the activities. But the Bible said what was at work in Daniel was an excellent spirit. So for Daniel to refuse to defy himself was because the excellent spirit that was at work in him was giving him instruction and he was obeying.
The next thing we saw about Daniel was that he was a man of prayer. The Bible said three times Daniel we pray facing Jerusalem, because even though he was in captivity, his visions were cast on what the Lord wanted to do for his people. Every time Daniel rose in the morning, afternoon and evening, he was focused on Jerusalem in intercession. If you study Daniel chapter 6 from verse 1 to 4, he said the king had gathered all the wise men, and among them he selected three presidents to govern over the realm, and Daniel was preferred among all of them. And he said they sought a case against Daniel, but they found nothing except in his service to his God. That means Daniel was faultless in all of his ways. Even within the context of natural judgment, you can't find a fault against Daniel. He was an upright man. The only way you could fault Daniel was to bring something that would constitute a hindrance between him and his God. And they went and told the king, let no man make any petition to any other God except you. But Daniel had aligned so much to God, he had fraternized with God so much, that he is willing to give up everything, including his life. Because part of the decree was that anybody that prays to any other God will be cast to the den of lions. The decree was already established. So if you go to pray, know that you are already journeying into the pit of lions. They didn't say something will happen. They say you will be cast into the den of lions. But the Bible says Daniel continued in prayers three times a day as his custom was. It became difficult for any other person to pray. Only Daniel was the one praying. His commitment was beyond life. His commitment was beyond everything life had to offer. To others, it may be an activity. Let's gather together and pray. But when the decree came, nobody was praying anymore. Because we saw that when they said they were not going to defy themselves, it was Daniel and his friend. But now a decree has come that if you pray, you'll be killed. It was only Daniel that was praying. The Daniel generation is a generation that will not back down for darkness, even if it means being slain. He stood his ground in the place of prayer, in the place of fasting, in the place of intercession. He knew that Daniel will only be relevant so long as he stayed with God and his purpose. There will be no Daniel in eternity except as he will give birth to the purpose of God that was given to him for his generation. That's why the Bible, the whole exploits of David, it was not recorded that he was a great king. He said after he had served his generation according to the will of the Lord. That is how citations are read in eternity. Citations in eternity are not a function of the flamboyant life you lived. Citation in the annals of eternity are consistent with the quality of service you rendered, as it is consistent with your ordination. You say David, after he has served his generation according to the will of the Lord, he slept with his fathers. Daniel knew there will be no Daniel in eternity except he begs that which is written concerning him. You know, people don't have this understanding, so we think it's about church. We make up the number. The day we come to church and church is full, the choir people are motivated. That day they sing the best kinds of songs. People celebrate with joy and enthusiasm and we go home. We don't take territories like that. Even if our number increased to 100 million, our world will still be dark. That's why you can have a Christian in the head of the government, but darkness will still prevail. Because we have calculated value in the form of number. But in eternity, value is consistent with life. You can use all your effort to gather all the Christians in Zaria. And even if all the Christians in Zaria begin to meet in one place, it does not translate to taking over Zaria. Because God doesn't judge by number. Alignment enthrones men in the kingdom. Alignment gives men authority over territories. Alignment in the place of obedience. Alignment in the place of prayer. And he said, Daniel chapter 9 verse 2, he said, I, Daniel, understood by books. He studied the writings of Jeremiah the prophet. And he understood that what God, do you see the level and the extent to which these people pursue after ordination? This is a guy who decided not to defile himself. This is a guy giving to prayers. He was still seeking prophecies. What did God say concerning our people? What did God say concerning the territory? There are lots of people here who say God has given them a territory, but they don't know the prophecies concerning that territory. Your preparation is defective. He knew that the year of captivity was 70. So by the authority of prophecy, he began to demand deliverance unto Jacob. What God have told you to do, what has God spoken about it? Some of us say we are prophets, and we don't even know how the prophetic ministry works. We say we are apostles, and they say, please, what are the criteria of an apostle? You don't even know one, and you cannot even give a narrative about one apostle in the scripture. Even the things God has spoken to you about, you have forgotten some. You are not qualified for the service. Daniel pursued the records. He pursued the records. This is what Jeremiah said about this captivity. It's time for it to end. And the moment he found it, he stripped himself. He dressed himself in sackcloth and began to intercede. For 21 days he was in the place of prayer. No wonder he was a man of power. He was a man of wisdom and strategy. The Bible said, Gabriel, even the man Gabriel, he showed up and he was given authority to fly swiftly. His speed was accelerated so that he could urgently come to Daniel. He said, and I have come to give you skill and to give you understanding. He has come to give him skill and understanding. That was what prepared Daniel into the realms of encounters. He secured authority and dominion by fulfilling the requirements of alignment. Obedience, prayer, study of the word, searching out the mysteries, the secrets concerning the assignment the Lord has given. The first question you ask yourself is, are you sure you are part of the Daniel generation? What is the quality of your fraternity with the Holy Spirit? How many instructions has the Holy Ghost given to you that you have kept to and obeyed? What level of defilement have you fallen into? Because in the marching orders is given tonight, there will be a lot of casualties. You see, in the context of God's interaction with us as a father, a lot of things are tolerated. But when we begin to deal with kingdom matters, the God we are interfacing with is a king. So laws, precepts, ordinances, they become paramount. That's why Ananias can fall down and die. That's why the sons of Aaron can go before the throne of grace and they are burnt. Because in kingdom context, laws are paramount. The God that you interact with in the context of a kingdom is not a father, he's a king. And a lot of people have not been instructed. Did you not know that even in the church which is supposed to be the umbrella of grace, Paul said, because a lot do not discern the body, many die. Within the umbrella of grace, he said, many die. Many are sick. Many die because they do not discern the body. That's legislation. When matters of legislation are on board, God is as strict as a lion. Imagine you come to church and you fall sick because you are part of a church. You don't discern the operation. You think you can go and backbite. You think you can go and snare. You think you can bring corruption into the body. He said, because they don't discern the body, he said, many are sick and many sleep. They die. Because these are matters of legislation. There will be no revival. I'm sorry to tell you, there will be no revival and there will be no territorial colonization except as men come back to yield themselves to the Holy Spirit. Because God is not under compulsion to do what he wants to do with your generation. He will do it his way, and we must align to his way for it to be done. If we disalign with him, he will wait until our generation pass out. And even if there are no men on the face of the earth, he will raise stones. He's not committed to bring to pass what he wants to do with men. Because he is God, it must happen. That we align with him is a kind of wisdom that gives us relevance with God. You need to pay attention. They have reduced Christianity to an activity. So you have set of expectations, things you want to do, the kinds of feeling you are used to. When this feeling is not there, and very few people can discern what's happening in the realm. The mighty things that these men did in scriptures, the Bible didn't record. Sometimes they did them in the face of death. Imagine Moses carrying over 3 million people, and he comes to a Red Sea, and 3 million people are hauling insults at him. And then at that point, Moses can secure verdict from heaven. You think he's the kind of preacher that me and you are? Imagine you come to church now, everybody say, what is he talking to? I beg, forget these people. Hi, what? I beg, go. Can you move power when that kind of thing is happening? Because we have reduced everything to emotion. Before you move in power, you have to bring the people to a kind of mindset. We said the atmosphere is choked. The atmosphere is choked. It's choked. These men were not like that. They interacted with the Lord himself. And it doesn't matter what you think. 3 million people hauling insult at somebody. And they say, be still, you will see the salvation of the Lord. It's not the people that make it happen. It's the God of Zion. If one man can align, heaven will move. Smith Wigglesworth said, if one man is obedient, God is willing to jump over 1 million persons. Jesus will come to raise the dead. And even the very persons that he's coming to render service to say, oh, no. We know he will rise on the resurrection. But don't worry. Then you say, unbelief. He said, oh, we believe. But he will rise on the last day. And he stood in front of everybody. He said, Lazarus, come forth. You have assurance beyond things to do that kind of feat. But the only way you can come to that level of assurance is when your life is poured as a sacrifice. Your life is poured as a sacrifice. Their senses are active. When they say they see in the spirit, they are not imagining. They are seeing. The first time I saw a vision, I was seven. I was worshiping with my mom in our native dialect. It's a usual tradition. She comes out, lie down, we sing from 8 to 10 p.m. until I'll sleep off and leave her. They'll come and carry me inside. And we're just singing. And suddenly, we laid on two benches outside. She loved singing. In fact, she was a choir mistress. Those days in the Orthodox Catholic Church. We're singing the Doma dialect. And suddenly, I saw the strangest sight of my life. It was as if a curtain was pushed in the sky. And I saw a man sitting on a throne. He was literally glowing like the sun. That's the most beautiful morning I've seen in my life. And I saw a woman knelt down presenting a child. When you see, if you see a vision, You don't even need people to believe. When they see your countenance, they will know you are seeing something. You see, when Zachariah was locked up in the Holy of Holies, suddenly he didn't come out again. A service of 15 minutes became 3 hours. He didn't know time has gone. The people knew. When he came out, they said, Kai, this man has seen an angel. You know, this one, you are imagining things. You say, I've seen this. I tapped my mom. I said, look. Before she turned, he closed up. What? There's another. See, that's why you can't. Even if I tell you now I don't believe in Jesus, it's a lie. I can't deny it. Every day is like yesterday. You don't forget encounters. Because it is weaved into the fabric of your being. When you have an encounter, every cell in your body bears witness Because it's a realm of reality. Everything about your life carries the DNA of life. When you have an encounter, you are touching the realm of life. So even the cells in your ear will bear witness. I have never believed Christianity is a religion. I come to a place, if it's not happening, when I started, I'll say, sorry, this thing, let me go and learn again. I don't understand this one. Because I know if I know it, it will happen. I don't need to coerce people to believe. It is in the gate of alignment that we enter beyond the veil. Because until true conviction is punished in the heart of men, we cannot deliver the kingdom. He said, the earnest expectation of creation, he waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Sons of God are the men that have journeyed through the gate of alignment and come out on the other side. Satan came and said, if you are the son of God, turn these stones to bread. The contention was all about being the son of God, because he knew the day the son of God shows up, he loses his authority over creation. If you are the son of God, if you are the son of God, if you are the son of God, Jesus laughed. If you are the son of God, he checked with Moses. This one has anger. Okay, anger will destroy the ministry, so he's not the one. Checked with David. This one has soiled the sand with blood. He's not the son of God. So everybody that comes on the scene, he goes to check. He begins to open the gates of corruption, and he will find one. But when he came to Jesus, he said, the prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing. He checked his profile in the spirit. He checked. He looked at his life. There was no gate of corruption. So he came to him. Are you the son of God? Are you the son of God? See, these are tangible things. It's not emotional. Are you the son of God? Okay, if you are, turn this stone to bread. Let me see. Because he knew that an era was about to break upon the atrium. Because the moment the sons of God manifest, deliverance is a natural flow. He knew there was an era about to break open. And when Jesus completed the circle, as he was coming down from the mountain, the Bible said he came down in the power of the Spirit. Alignment is what clothes you with the garment of power. Deliverers are punished within the regions of alignment. He returned in the power of the Spirit, and his fame went abroad. Who spread his fame abroad? He had returned. He has returned. And he said that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. These things were spoken. Jesus lived for 30 years, but he didn't touch it until he completed the circle of alignment. He said, in the land of Zebulun, in the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentile, the people that sat in darkness. You see, what he did was a quiet activity by the backsides of the desert. He didn't come to roll himself and shout. It was at the backside. But when the requirements of the Spirit was fulfilled, he showed up as light. And he began to read his manifesto immediately. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You don't need to believe. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. From this moment, anybody that is impoverished concerning spiritual realities, if I interact with him, he will come alive in the spirit. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bring sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Oh! He began to read his manifesto. He didn't need them to believe, and the people didn't believe, and it didn't matter. He went to the marketplace and he began to open blind eyes. He began to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. Why? Because he had fulfilled the requirement in the spirit. You see, we come to church, we see the display of men, but we are not schooled in the things of the spirit. What we make you most times is not in the church. It is the obedience you fulfill in the bedroom. The obedience you fulfill in the market. The obedience you fulfill in the lecture hall. That is what seeps the power into you. Because the end product of alignment is power. Demons don't speak English. Spirit speaks spirit and life. What they communicate is power. The statement the demons are making in your family, are they in articulate language? They come and they shut people down with sickness. It's power. They keep them in captivity. They come and they prevent people from getting married. It's power. The language spirits understand is the language of power. So when we yield to Jesus, what we are trying to enter is a vote of power so that we can secure deliverance unto Jacob. People spend all their lives quoting, reading things, cramming things so that they can come and give and articulate a cerebral language. And their life is a mess. Because they don't understand that the language that spirits speak is power. Alignment is not complete until you are clothed with power. It is power that will take the gospel to the ends of the earth. For 30 years, Jesus was an upright man. But he couldn't shift anything in his territory. They knew him as the carpenter. But the day power came, in 3.5 years, he did what he could not do in 30 years. That means every year was equivalent to a decade by power. Your signature in the spirit is power. Your identity is power. We are born by power. We are ordained for power. And only by power can we advance the kingdom. He said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are thou? The question was not a question of nomenclature. By what authority have you come? You think when Pharaoh asked Moses, who is your God that I may obey him? He was telling Moses to describe God. What he needed was power. And Moses showed up. 430 years of captivity was ended in a short season because a new language was being spoken upon the landscape. Power was beginning to play out. What is fighting the land? What has shut the land down in captivity? It's not English language. It's not Hausa. It's power. And until we arise in power, the land will remain in captivity and we will join that alignment of captivity. Your identity in the spirit is by power. The fulfillment of your purpose is predicated upon power. That was why Jesus, who was the prototype of our lifestyle, showed us that we must first of all journey into power before we begin. You think Jesus didn't know the gospel? You think there were no blind men when he was 25? There were dead men, there were barren people, there were blind people, there were deaf people. He was quiet until he was 30. He saw the blind men in the territory. He did nothing about them. Because you don't begin until you are clothed with power. So before he met the first blind man, he went through the desert. Because he knew that until the garment of power came upon him, he was not fit for the job of the master. You are the one who is going to the deaf person and doing trial and error. There's nothing like trial and error. That ear is shot by the finger of a demon. And only power can remove it. You don't advise demons, you cast them out. Who told you it's trial and error? He said, ought not this woman, the daughter of Abraham, who has been bound these 18 years, be free? He said, woman, thou art loosed. What he contended with was the demon that bent her over. Even the gospel you preach, nobody will hear it except as you speak it by power. Paul said, if our gospel be he, it is he to them that are lost, whom the God of this world have blinded their heart. You think you are educating the minds of people, whereas there are demons that have shut their eyes with a dark garment. Everything you say will not make sense except you begin to speak through the vote of power. Power is not an act. Everything we need to advance the kingdom has one name. That name is power. It is power that uninstalls the protocol of darkness. It is power that shut down demonic installation. The mast of heaven is open only by the gateways of power. People who are wise, they pursue after power. The reason we obey, the reason we align, is because there is a kingdom that is about to gain emergence. And only the sons of power can bring it to pass. If there is no power, there is no hope for a generation. Jesus didn't say when the Holy Ghost come, he will educate you. He said not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. Power. He said when power comes, then you can be witnesses unto me. He said tarry here in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. Power is the code of life. Power is the proof of witness. Power is the seal of authority. It is only by power that demonic entities can shift away from a territory. Even the very gates of territories don't open except as you come by power. You say, lift up the gates. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory might come in. You say, who is the King of glory? Because darkness will challenge you. Demons will challenge you. They don't go away. You don't advise them. You don't counsel them. You cast them out by power. They will challenge you. When you come to that territory and you want to speak, the first one that challenges you is not the people. When a man hurls his sword at you, just know that he's giving expression to a demonic entity. They will challenge you. They will fight you. They will attack you. They will do everything within their powers to shut you down. The only thing that will keep you going through the landscape of darkness is the seal of power that you stand upon. Every one of us must be clothed with power. If there is no power, there is no gospel. The very gospel that we preach, he said, is called the power of God. By power, by power. He said, through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves to you. Through the greatness of thy power. There is no kingdom in view except as power becomes our language. Except as power becomes our way of life. The very utterances from your spirit must be clothed with power. Only by power can the kingdom advance. Have you been summoned by ordination? There is no doubt about it. But what is backing you? The reason we are aligned to the Holy Spirit is so that we can shift back the tides of darkness. Amatakaburas. Perekanos kopena tatahali kazuta. The kingdom only advanced by warfare. That is why life itself is not a funfair, it's a warfare. You will never see anywhere in the Bible where thorn is articulated to life. It is always warfare. Even the territories that God has given to you, only by power can you take them. He said in Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 24, he said, arise. Take up thy journey and go beyond the river Arnon. He said, behold, I have given unto you Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon. He said, begin to possess the land and subdue him. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Even when there is glory upon you, if you don't arise, you will not shine. He said, let your light so shine before me. You let it, let it, let it. Power is the code of life. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves to you. In the days of thy power, the people shall be willing. We don't need counseling so much as it is made to look. What we need is power. The day power shows up, people will pursue after you. That is why the scripture, the man of God wrote, he stirred my spirit. He said, in the last day, the kingdom of God, the house of God shall be upon the mountains. He said, it shall be upon every hill. And he said, all the nations shall come. Teach us the way of the Lord. That's not evangelism. You compel them by an akazo. The compelling force. An akazo. The compelling force. The only way death can run away is when you show up with the garment of power. Amakasetakira. The garment of power. And the beauty of it is that we have it in our vessel. We try to give expression to it. That is why we are lying to the monarch of Zion. Shaka patarabos. Power is not what you think it is. Power is your identity in the spirit. Power is the only tool by which you can advance the kingdom. The gospel you preach is power.
Omekasaremo da taliga pasat.
Your DNA is fabricated by power. You are a seed of power. Everything about you is power. He said you were born by power. Everything about you is power. You are born by power. Your reality is power. Your identity is power. Emma Casatabonia. Shagabere na sombere taka. Bele come. He said, as many as believe, to them he gave power. He gave power to become the sons of God. You were born by power. There is nothing in Christianity outside of power. Christianity is the move of power. Power belongs to you. Oh, Mama Sakataya. Oh, and I say, for thine is the kingdom, for thine is the power, for thine is the glory. For thine is the kingdom, for thine is the power, for thine is the glory. People were in captivity for 430 years. They were begging God. They were begging God. No. It's not about begging. You need a man of power to show up. Moses showed up as a man of power. And what 3 million people were begging God for, one man brought it by power. One man brought it by power. The church in Zaria is crying for revival. When a man of power show up, he will bring revival by power. In heaven and earth, all power belongs to you. Oh, power belongs to you. Power belongs to you. In heaven and earth, all power belongs to you. Ascending already. Let me tell you something. There is a garment of power about to clothe people now. There's a garment of power about to clothe people now. Shababaka batababoat. Repatoko satanika. Beresko. Menta kibarasata. Precious Holy Spirit, rain upon us. Oh, power belongs to you. Patrick, lift up your hands, brother. Oh, Mama Satika. Patrick, lift your hands up now. Precious Holy Spirit. Precious Holy Spirit. Clothe him with power. Clothe him with power. Clothe him with power. Help the lady behind. Help the lady. Holy Ghost, us to activate sight in the spirit. The Lord wants to activate sight. Listen, the wind of the Holy Ghost will blow over this place now, and it will begin. Lord, let the ceremony begin. Shabbat. Let the ceremony begin. Let their eyes open in the spirit. Oh, me kaza tevele neswata. Rehimate komeres. Mare komosa le taika mila haya bonha. Amakidas. Velele nesina. Let the ceremony begin. The angels of sight begin to minister you. Begin to minister. The angels of sight begin to minister to you. The angels of sight begin to visit. Ani o, hey ya, ah, hey ya, ah, hey ya, hey ya, ah, sister, the healing mantle rest upon you.
I plan the wisdom, according to the word of the Lord. Merakizos alagatras, elemeros kabinas, jetelamidos, merakizos. Oh Lord, I call upon the fountains of the deep.
Of time, listen. You are sick, lift your hands. You are sick here now, lift your hands. Meanwhile, a lot of you are already healed. But you still feel the symptom of sickness. Lift your hands, and you are healed. You know, lift your hands. Comfort, come out quickly. There's no time. You are sick, lift your hands, come out quickly. Check your bodies. Most of you are already healed. The Lord is brooding over this realm. He's brooding over his people. He's brooding. The Lord is brooding. Don't be separated from what is happening. Even those ministering with me, the power of God is touching them. Don't be separated from what is happening. You are healed now, you will know, right?
Lift your hands up.
Place a demand on the anointing. Ask the Lord for healing now.
Instant healing. Instant.
Instant healing. Place a demand now.
I don't believe in trying to help God. What the situation is, ask for it now.
Father, in the name of Jesus,
under this anointing of the Spirit, I declare, let the chains of sickness be broken now. I command you, spirit of infirmity, holding them bound,
get out in the name of Jesus. Get out in the name of Jesus.
Today the Son of Man sets you free. I declare you free. I declare you free. I declare you free.
Healed in Jesus' name. 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 Healed. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name.
Allow God to walk on them. Those are not the power. Allow God to walk on them.
Meanwhile, go ahead. Check yourself. Check yourself. The things you couldn't do before, begin to do them. Begin to do them by the power of the Holy Ghost. Don't go back. We are taking testimonies now.
It's not trial and error.
Check now. If you are healed, you will know. Check. The things you couldn't do before, begin to do them. Shabaraha babone sagabask. Melegisko brahalamanda. Meanwhile, the Lord is anointing intercessors. The Lord is anointing intercessors now. Now, as we speak, as we speak, as we speak, the oil of intercession, the oil of intercession, the oil of intercession, the oil of intercession. I make it happen by the Spirit of God. The oil of intercession, the oil of intercession. The oil of intercession is resting on people. It's resting. It's resting. Look at that. Touch. The oil of intercession. The oil of intercession. The oil of intercession. The oil of intercession. Coming down densely upon this atmosphere. Touch. The oil of intercession. The oil of intercession. The oil of intercession. The oil. The oil. The oil of intercession. Malakizos alamandras. Beretemos. Activated. Activated. You will never be the same again. Today the Lord apprehends you. Pere peres cometeka. Balagasizi lagabaras kemote. Beruko vevera na taburi na ata kila para babas raga babamu malakatia subata andre gido zala bandas. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Dropping gifts. Angel empowering people with prosperity. Prosperity. I see God giving some of you ideas. Business ideas now. I see young ladies doing business. The Lord giving you strategies. Angels putting gifts in the hand of men. As we sing this song, the intensity will increase. Some of you will literally feel your hand burning. Some of you will literally feel a touch.
Hallelujah.
Your healing. Three already. You are healed. Let me see your hand. You are healed. Listen. Don't try to help God. Man cannot help God. Jesus ministered to a blind man. He said he saw men like three. He ministered to him again. Don't try to do it thinking that it will happen. Don't encourage God. If you are not healed, you are not healed. And we can pray again, you'll be healed. The power is tangible. We are not doing it. You are healed. Let me see your hand. Don't help Jesus. Those of you who have not noticed your healing yet, come. Ministers of God, help me quickly. There's no time. Man of God, sir, please help me. Minister to them again. It's a tangible reality. The reason you go back and you don't have faith is because you feel these things are not true. Maybe they are.